So you said you flew private 4 times?
At least I have.
And did how many times did you blow private?
None, because always family. Always family in there.
You never fucked in the skies?
No, I haven't. Oh, that's like one place I'm surprised. Shocker.
So you're just the Indiana version of a professional hot girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude.
Yes. And did it without being a legacy. Did it mix?
Being a legacy.
You know what I mean? Did it
mix? I'm not a Hadid, a Kardashian.
I'm not one of the
legacy whores.
Clearly, you can't. I don't even have a bra on. And, you know, this is like, they were the other day, they're like, you got your body, love your body. And I'm like, dude, when men are like, Hannah, we want to be with you, I'm like, you're bisexuals and pedophiles. Keep it up. Love you to death. Never switching teams. But it's like, what are you doing? Like, this body is like not fun. This is, unless you're just like, want to go down a speed trap. Like I say,
if you're attracted to me, I have Chris Hansen on speed dial.
Yeah, if you got a boner from Spinelli from Recess and you get an erection when you see a piece of celery, I'm your girl. If you want a peach bottom or a better shape, I'm not your girl. That's all I'm saying. Like, if somebody made like a pillow out of my boobs right now, I can feel them. Like, I would turn down this pillow on a flight to Manila. I'd be like, actually, that will make my neck hurt.
Where's Manila?
Yeah, it's more of like a massage ball.
That's I got to give the homeland a shout out. It's Asian month.
Shout out.
Let's go, Gooks.
You got this.
I can say it. I can say it.
Okay, I'm glad I didn't say it because I didn't know what it meant. I was about to just mirror you.
I thought it was a sports team.
It is. It is.
The Gooks?
Yeah, the Portland State Gooks.
What in tarnation?
Upcoming dates, live shows, this Friday, May 24th, Atlanta, Georgia. Thursday, May 29th, Gig Harbor, Washington, running it back and doing the whole other hour, a whole different hour. I split that shit in half. I got 2 hours right now. Wednesday, June 5th, Stand Up Live, Huntsville, Alabama. June 27th, 28th, 29th, 5 shows in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the Looney Bin. July 18th, Austin, Texas, Vulcan Gas Company. The 19th and 20th, Fort Worth, Texas, Big Laughs Comedy. July 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, I'm co-headlining a tour in Ohio with Cam Bertrand. We're in 5 different cities in Ohio. Go check my website, AJ Wilkerson Comedy. Get tickets for all of those shows. August 11th, August 11th, Phoenix, Arizona. That says no title. I don't know what that is. I think that's it right now.
Rad.
That's it. Yeah.
So it sounds like you don't have any shit happening, and you guys need to hurry up and get your tickets.
Yeah. AJ Wilkerson Comedy. Get your tickets for all of those shows. And now I'm just saying a reminder to myself to cut my dates up and put that into a functional format.
The accents and like competitive sound around it, it just gets mumbled.
That makes sense.
I hate you. Stupid.
You're stupid.
You're stupid.
That makes sense.
I'm gonna teach you a lesson.
You gotta give it a competing sound, dude.
Oh my gosh.
Just ring a bell when you wanna keep a secret.
Just over there like, hey guys, you remember that?
She has no idea what I'm saying right now, dude.
What? This. I want to get some of those. They have these things I've been looking into. It's not like a hearing aid, but it's like a listening aid, where it like it helps like isolate voices and stuff.
Like those ear spy things, those little ear satellites.
I want to get a pair and see if that like would help, because that would be...
That's your final form.
Dude, I get those. I'm unstoppable, baby.
I know what you're talking about, because I was talking to the guy at the Apple Watch store, and he was talking about the new Apple Watch, the one I got. Mm-hmm. I was saying the 3-microphone array, and he was saying, like, part of that has that same technology in it. Like, it's noise isolating, so it, like, isolates the noise around you. And so I was listening to the audio playback from some of the shows, and it's like you can't hear the big audience pops as much.
Because they take it off.
It kind of isolates it a little bit more, so you get my voice isolated above the audience a little bit more.
Nice. Which is good.
Cool. Yeah. So if it works on the Apple Watch, you may want to listen to that and be like, oh yeah, if I was talking to somebody
and that's like, how it sounded
in that environment, this is what it might sound like.
I feel like it would really help. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should just get upset, because I feel it's so hard to explain, because it's like when I just, the easiest way for me to say is like, oh, I'm half deaf, and people are like, really? And it's like, not really, but that's just the easiest way for me to say I can't hear very well.
I would love to see you in like a Duolingo commercial. It's just like, konnichiwa. What's this bitch saying?
Do you look like you could be the spokesman for like a Duolingus commercial? Like, are you into men and ladies? Try Duolingus, the new dating service for bisexuals.
Duolingus. That reminds me, there's a lady with 2 vaginas.
What?
Yeah, she's a porn star or something, and one is for fucking, and the other is for love.
Oh yeah, I think I've heard something about that. Like one for the relationship hole and a.
Yeah, there's just a slutty vagina, hilarious. And then like
that's my work hole, that's my love hole.
And that is hilarious.
And you're like, you're asking like, no, double vag. Like the porn? No, unrelated. That's second batch.
That's my 9 to 5, and that's my 8 to 10.
Yeah, you just move the fucking curtain over. You clocked out.
Oh god, I imagine it's like one of those like those shooting targets that like you hit it and it flips upside down. Ding. Yeah. So she's like, oh, work's over. Ding.
Does she have two clits or just 2 vaginas?
I didn't ask.
It's the internals. It's the I've read the thing, because there's like 3 women that do porn that have this.
Oh really?
Yeah, so it's the internal actual vaginal opening, and they both like one of them on one of the ladies. It's like they both connect to her
uterus.
Yes, okay. And then on one of them, one doesn't connect to her uterus.
It's the tunnel that went in that didn't come out that you
were talking about. Like on the road trip, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
When you were explaining that, I was like, hold on a second, we've seen something like this.
Yes, exactly.
It's a cave without an exit.
So yeah, so that, I'm pretty sure the one that's not connected to her uterus is her work hole.
That's probably, work hole. You can just cum dump in that one.
Oh, God. She's like, yeah, just unload in there, and then I'll just get vertical and
if you're going to marry a porn star, that's an ideal situation. Because, like, you obviously you're going to be, you know, commingling, but there's, like, one that you do, like, is...
I feel like they often intermarry as far as, like, office, you know, like, porn.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, you think porn, they date each porn guy,
a lot
porn,
of porn, yeah. Porn people do date each other.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Understand.
Because why? I mean, they've already lost that judgment. The stigma is gone of just being,
you know,
like,
what you're doing. You're not going to
the
be
higher
like,
the body the count, as, the harder yeah. they get, it's not the, same the opposite.
As, like, yeah, it's the same as any industry. It's like Travis Kelce, or Jason Kelce's wife was also a professional athlete.
Mm. Yeah.
And like Joe
Liston. A person
List
who understands. Tolomachi. Yeah. I mean, he just put up his Mother's Day post for Sarah, and you know, Chris, yeah, even if he's an asshole, Tom and Christina, there's a lot of inner office dating. I just have stayed away from it because I find it to not be complimentary for
me. It's usually a problem. Don't work for me. Probably guess that is interesting though, that like I feel like if you were to date a porn star as a normie, that would be a lot of pressure. You would feel it feel like playing basketball and the woman you're dating is in the WNBA, and you just, it's so obvious you don't know what you're doing. You know, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do
it. This is that good Christian upbringing.
Maybe if she took it slow with me, I would be willing to learn. But I'm not just going to start out of the gate being like, yeah, you know how you've been fucked good for 15 years? Now it's my turn.
Fucked good is, and fucked good is a strong word. I mean, sometimes I look in those bitches' eyes when I'm watching that porn and I think, they're
it's
hurting.
You when you're trying to shit.
They're hurting. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that ain't actually feeling too good. That bitch has got her, like, her internal organs are being rearranged.
Sure. And then there's other times
you know what I'm saying?
Oh, she's thinking about her shopping list for later. Yeah. She's like, I need fresh.
For the person she loves who's going in the other hole.
Yeah.
Back to that. So, the way.
Back to that.
Because I need to make it make sense in my head. So, you're saying she's got two holes. Yeah. She's got, like, one set of curtains.
Yes.
Two windows.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like in nature when you go in one cave entrance and then there's a fork just inside the opening.
Okay. I was picturing two sets of curtains.
Curtains, wow. You mean vagina.
Four labes?
Yeah. Four labes. I was picturing a lot of labes.
Nope. One set of labes, one clitoris.
Two holes.
One cave opening just inside. It's like, do we go top or bottom?
Yeah.
Oh.
You take the high road or the low road?
Oh, that poor son of a bitch that can't hit either. He's just stuck in. Can you imagine a girl with a double badge and the one guy can't get in anywhere?
Yeah.
He's just
like,
stuck.
Oh, you're just camping out in the opening, dude. You're just.
Get in where you fit in.
Yeah, you're barely sheltered from the elements, buddy.
He's struggle in purgatory. To make decisions. Yeah, that's...
You're like, just put it in my
ass.
Good
for
ass.
Her, though.
Okay.
Good for
I don't want to feel it.
I love anal anymore because I can turn away from the man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The anal's you the reserve... least intimate. It's like, okay, actually, I'll just not look at Kevin. And I'm not a size queen, so I don't even feel it. I'm like, I just came.
Thanks for dinner.
That's the word.
Thanks
call,
for dinner.
I'm gonna go write a pussy joke about your little dick. Bye.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, I was just hanging out with Kevin. He spent 15 minutes rubbing his clit on my bum hole, dude.
Poor Kevin.
Yeah, shout out Kevin.
What up, Kev?
Fuck.
Well, speaking of, Kevin Hart just won the Mark Twain Award.
I know. He's here at the end of the month. I mean, look, promo for Kevin.
Hey, Kevin Hart, dude.
Theo Vaughn and Kevin Hart, based on the signage I saw yesterday, have residencies and shows coming up here.
Oh, man. There are a lot of interesting signs here in Vegas. No. The city is very interesting.
Yeah. Mm.
Always will
very,
be.
Somehow prostitution is illegal, but there's a truck driving around with a number for escorts.
Yeah. What's that?
I guess advertising, it's not illegal.
Wait.
It's only illegal if you get caught. Yeah.
We're going to be selling pussy here, and it's illegal to buy, but we'll be right here for 4 6.
Bring your cash.
Yeah. They do prostitution over here, like, don't tell.
Don't ask.
It's a secret lineup.
Bring your own dick, and we're rotating spots in this. Come on in.
Secret location.
Hush.
Oh.
You get the fucking venue address when you buy the ticket.
Yeah, you do.
So we've been on the road. You guys don't know this, but we picked up Hannah in
an alleyway. No.
Yeah. it was really a animal shelter.
Well, Portland is.
We did technically meet Hannah in an alleyway because that back the
I met you at the
oh yeah
the, what you call it the green room at that theater was like it's a hallway alley, that they just like. Closed off part of the alleyway and made it a little hallway.
Yeah, it was a shoebox.
It was, so we did kind of meet in an alley. Mm. It's just well lit, you know?
Yeah.
And then we went, I mean.
We all met at the Portland Comedy Festival.
Rip
that's
City
where
Comedy
I
Festival.
Was, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's where, fuck gods. Sorry,
Rip City
Joe.
Comedy Festival
so
in Portland.
Weed.
And fuck Amtrak.
Hell, had fucking Oregon Roots, dude.
Oregon Roots Rips.
Shout out, they're the best. We've been smoking their weed pretty much. Exclusively through 10 days and still have a couple jars left, so
yeah, they hooked it up.
Yeah, they did.
Thank you for all of that.
But then we got an RV, and we traveled in this RV for 5 days. Something stupid, it felt like
1300 miles
on the prairie. By the end, we were like cooking breakfast and like reading novels to each other. It was very beautiful.
It was very cool. Dude, we did two hot springs, camped in two hot springs.
RV parks,
hot springs.
But the one in Idaho does not have Wi-Fi, so if you need to get something done there, aside from a geothermal soak, you might want to choose an alternate site.
That place is a cult.
A cult?
Oh, yeah.
They don't tell you about the no why. They just bring you in.
And their daughter gives massages.
Oh, yeah, dude. That place was wild.
That was
weird. It was a bunch of old couples, and it felt like daytime hours were just pre-swinger party.
Yes.
Because all of these old couples were there talking to each other, and I don't know if you guys noticed, but some of them were getting a little handsy in the pools.
Well, they were also talking about, like, the imminent decease of their lover.
Me and Thomas, a big woman with some just, like, floating titties came over to us twice to involve us in widower gossip
She was 80. Well, she was, what? Like, she was like, yeah, my buddy started hanging out. Like, she lost her husband, and this guy lost his wife, and they started hanging out. Now they're just on the road together, and his RV's much nicer. I'm just saying.
Yeah, she was basically telling us about this. Like, yeah, she's a fucking gold digging old woman who's just like,
that is hilarious.
I was like, this bitch is jealous.
Oh no, yeah. It was
it's
a circuit.
Just traveling old folks.
Home. A whole nother circuit.
Yeah, it's all the same drama. Everybody's fucking everybody. But all the same shit.
I will say the massage lady. This lady was, first of all, it was like a free massage for your feet, and I get in there, and she obviously has something, like, off about her. I can't put my finger on it, but every time I would go to talk to her, the other lady would speak for her, and then I found out that she was a handler, because the other lady, the massage lady, had been in a car accident, and the 51st dates thing, where she can't.
Like short-term traumatic brain injury.
Yeah, and then she's just in there talking about how, like, she meets men and she dates men and she loves men. And then she was on this, like, private jet with this, like, wealthy guy who's polyamorous. And the handler went. And the whole thing just felt real steamy. And she's rubbing my toes.
She's telling me her modern Titanic story. She's like, this rich man took me on this private jet. We had sex in a Lamborghini at 30,000 feet and steamed up the windows.
And I was like, I don't have much, but what I do have.
Susan, no, I am hard, though. I want you to know I have been the whole time.
Well, when I found out that, like, her family owns the place, I was like, we totally got to be back. Like, they'll have us back. And I was like, she won't remember any of this.
I thought it was weird that there was a lady giving out free foot massages, because it was like when you go to like Sam's Club or Costco and they do like the little samples to try to get you to buy the whole pack of like the little hot dog wieners or whatever. She was just giving out free foot massages to try to get people to book like a full massage.
At the end she was like, also you can Venmo me for tips, and I was like, I already did. And I just stared at her.
Dude, somebody out there has to, like, it feels like they're playing this universal prank on this mentally handicapped woman.
They're
like, oh yeah, set up out here and you do massages for tips on Venmo, but there's no Wi-Fi, so how the fuck can anyone Venmo her? How the fuck can anyone Venmo
Everybody's
her?
There's like,
no Wi-Fi for like 2 miles.
As soon as I get out of here, I'm gonna send that Venmo. You can tell I'm already a million miles away, but I will. Certainly. And especially since you won't remember.
Such a wild thing, though, because, like, there was obviously, like, obviously the lady was, like, had gotten into a lot of sexual troubles. Like, probably had a name for herself. She was like, yeah, I've been with a lot of men. And her handler's just nodding at that. And then she goes, and there's a lot I don't remember. And then she goes, there's a lot I probably forgot on purpose. And I was like, what's happening? This woman is admitting she's being abused in front of me.
Well, dude, there's a thing with, like, autism and with, like, traumatic brain injuries sometimes where there's, like, a percentage where it, like, causes, like, a sexual...
Hypersexuality. Yeah, she definitely had that.
100%.
For sure, and I just like coming. Yeah. You know what I mean? Get on a little cum streak and just make yourself nearly blind.
Yeah.
I was going 2 to 3 times in my teen years where I was like, bro, you're toast. I feel great.
My eyesight's clearer, actually. It was clogged with all this cum in my body.
I always like silver lining side effects. Yeah. Like when I got the vax, I had to. It's not like I thought it was sound, but I was like, hey, I can't be on the Laugh Factory stage for $40 at a time if I don't put this poison in my body. And plus, I'm from Indiana. I'd caught COVID 3 times breathing state air. So I was like, if you don't bukkake all 3 vaxes into my arm outside of this Walgreens, I'm going to fucking burn it down.
You got all 3, huh?
No, I just got one. The Johnson & Johnson, the one they're like, it'll give you a blood clot if you're a lady. I was like, I'll take it. I've been living with some injuries that are lingering.
Now that abortion's illegal, the only way to kill it's with a clot.
No doubt. Or sell for whatever. What a way to go. But I was always hoping for that. I was like, yeah, my sister, when I got it, you know, she's very hippy-dippy and green granola, so unvaxxed. Mom and dad are trust Jesus, unvaxxed. So I was going home the whole time like, hope Jesus is real, because all 3 of you aren't going to be able to stand up to whatever my super spreader strain is now that I've gotten. I've been in Sarasota, so good on
you. You can't really give your family gonorrhea from a hug.
Well, they taught me in the 80s and 90s we could get AIDS from toilet seats and, you know, blood transfusions.
Wait,
so.
What?
Yeah, yeah, that's the way they taught HIV. They just scared us to death. They made us watch these videos about a kid named Ryan White who got HIV from a blood transfusion. Okay. It was all very like, stay away from the gays, and you know what I mean? You could just even be in this close to each other.
Oh, no.
They were just like acting like HIV could just jump
They're
off.
Like, if a gay sneezes or coughs on you, you're dead. Yeah.
And it would cause me as a straight little kid to be like, yeah.
Gay people.
Gay people are fine, but please don't like want to do that, like push our, you know, like the cutting your fingers and putting blood packs
let's not
together
be blood
again.
Brothers.
Like,
yeah.
No, that's crazy. Don't bring your nosebleed over here, queer. I cut my knee falling down on my bike, and from what they've told us, this is dicey. What they should have told us is, hey, one of the most famous athletes of all time is going to get HIV, Magic Johnson, and then by the time you're 40, he'll have a better life than you, and it's worse to have hypertension. Turns out everything we gave you, you know, Shake is like, you're going to be sick and dying from that HIV.
You think Magic Johnson didn't have a better life than you until you were 40?
I mean, he... It's cute how we feel. It's cute how we can feel. But yeah, he did. He was just...
Magic Johnson, your entire life, Magic Johnson has had HIV and a better life than you.
So don't give up on your dream sluts. Whatever you think is a game-ending injury, it may not be. It could just turn out to be something that you can
be gay, get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turns out, if you get HIV and survive, you can own a sports team, dude.
Yeah.
Even now, you can get PrEP. So, like, you know, my buddies that are gay, they can just even just get a little bit of a immunoboost. Even HPV has Gardasil. That's come since I've been a, like, young slut.
Gardasil sounds such intense.
They
like
always
gargoyle.
Do. Gardasil. They always do. I mean, everything about female, you know.
Yeah, they make it scary.
For that. Conception is bad. It's like, even me, it's like, I'll just pay the money for a Plan B or an abortion instead of putting whatever like pharmaceuticals you've created or whatever that drone you want me to put in my pussy is.
Gardasil sounds like there's a Rick Moranis in your pussy that every time somebody comes in, he's like, no, I'm the key master. Are you the gatekeeper?
It is.
He's just tiny down there.
It's just like, he's tiny in real life. He's tiny in real life. Do you guys remember when somebody in New York just randomly, just walking down the street, just cold-cocked Rick Moranis?
Punched him?
Yeah. What? Rick Moranis was just walking down the street in New York and just got cold-cocked knocked out.
Poor Rick.
What?
Poor Rick, dude.
Damn.
One thing that I've been noticing on our trip is a lot of elderly still do snot rags. They blow snot in the handkerchiefs.
Yeah.
That is such a... I'm ready for them to go. Like, soon the handkerchief will be a relic of a bygone era. Because we would shame a young person for using it.
No, it's not. Dude, handkerchiefs are already back, dude.
Not
every
for snot,
hipster I
not,
know...
They don't snot in it. Hipsters don't be snotting in the rags.
Hipsters be snotting in the rags.
Dude, if you're snotting...
Hipsters do coke and then snot into the rag.
And then look
at
later.
A coke dab. I'm talking...
So am I.
Well, but nowadays, for recycling and all that, the handkerchief is actually the sustainable method also, because otherwise we're just using single throwaways, plastics, bullshit, napkins. So they're actually holding on to something that can just be washed later.
Yes, they're all environmentalists.
And have more sustainability.
I just farmer blow it. That's what I do.
You told me that if even 10% more people bought handkerchiefs and the coral reefs would heal, I would not want that to happen. I can't be around snot like that. I don't want someone's snotty hand.
They're not putting
their
the handkerchief
pocket.
In your hand after they use it. They typically wad it up and put it back in their pocket.
Until next time when they grab it out and their hands are just full of booger now.
Well, they normally, the booger is on the inside. Like, yeah. they fold it up, blow it into a part, and then fold it closed.
So none of it gets on.
Yeah, so then if they have to do again, they're just putting boogers on the outside of their nose.
In a perfect world.
So just, yeah, in a perfect world.
With something that looks like a doily and has got their, you know, initials embroidered in it. It's quite sweet. Yeah, dude.
I want to figure out, I want to get to the bottom of who invented that and why.
That's a simple Google after this.
I'll give it a goog.
Give it a goog.
It did. When I noticed it, though, it bothered me. I don't like whatever that is, whatever that just reckless energy. It's just, it's something about it. It's old people I don't like, I think.
Oh, so that's what really
this I think that's what it is.
It wouldn't bother you if a hipster did it. I'll tell you, this is
it would still bother me, but not as much.
It's hilarious you brought this up, because in Colorado, I was doing an open mic kind of situation, like, I don't know, 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and literally a dude offered me and my buddy Cam Atkinson, who was there, shout out Cam Atkinson. No, he offered us Coke. He's like, hey, we're doing Coke in the bathroom if you guys want to come. And I was like, no, thank you. But I watched one of the guys come out of the bathroom. He was the hipster with the little, like, slicked back beanie. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Like the slinky bean. Yeah. Yeah. Little pushback slinky bean and a flannel with
it.
A t-shirt, like open flannel t-shirt underneath, all the layers on. And I watched him into his handkerchief. And then he pulled it back. And you could tell there was Coke still in the boogers.
Or
because
blood.
Then he licked the handkerchief.
He licked it. He licked it.
Should have been shot on sight.
He nummied off of a handkerchief.
He nummied. Yes.
That's disgusting.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like the post Coke, like, but he was just like with his boogers in it, and then all up on his grill.
I got chills from that. That's disgusting.
That is disgusting.
That is disgusting.
Yes.
That is disgusting.
Yeah, that's like the guy who told me one time, he was like, I made ramen noodles in college with my bong water. And I was like, Bobby.
You morons.
Yes.
College and ramen noodle bong water don't really go together.
I think I still let him smash because I have no integrity. Something in me respected him more for saying it. I was like, Bobby, I've done some stuff to you. Come on in here.
I'd respect it in the other direction. If he was like, I put my ramen noodle water in my bong.
Yeah.
That'd be dope.
That'd be dope.
Well, it's kind of nice. It'd have like that, like,
savory umami. Yeah, dude.
He did that all backwards.
Dude, a little fucking garlic butter weed through some fucking ramen noodle water. Ooh. Let's go.
A little creamy chicken.
I just want ramen noodles now. That sounds good as shit.
There's something about me that will always love a pack of ramen noodles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the cheap ones especially. Yeah. It's like there's just certain things. It's even that if you instant. Go past them. It's a real sense of comfort in them.
Yeah, I know that little flavored seasoning packet was going to kill me
just
one day.
Just straight MSG. Huh?
Yeah, it's
that's
so bad.
That flavor seasoning packet is just basically the reduction of what moved through my body yesterday. He was like, I had to empty the RV. That's how it felt like when, you know, whatever we had to, when you had to drain the main vein. That was me last night just sitting here like, well, I guess I ruined it with everyone. Hopefully this moves through my body so I can actually do the show tomorrow and I don't spend a full day shitting in luxury.
Shitting in
crying
into
high thread count sheets. That's the way. That's the way.
Yeah.
Just bawling, weeping into 2,500 thread count Egyptian cotton. Like.
Yeah, if you're gonna shit into a trash can, do it 60 floors up with a view of the Vegas Strip, you know?
I mean,
it's the only way to do it. Just pull the trash can out of the bathroom and set it by the window.
Sit on it in front of the window like it's a stool and then just...
Let the stool
unload
out.
Unload your stool, dude.
Put your stool on your stool. Stools on stools on stools.
Woo.
I'm glad
you're
you got
living
there.
On a stoolie, dude.
I know it.
I love wearing these flannels.
Because of the thing.
And flannels because the flannels have these little fucking shirt pockets. Like eyeglass cleaners on the inside.
No way.
And yeah, Dixons are sick, dude. Like this one actually. Like so, they make a bunch of sick.
And it's just a guy and his buddy, right?
Yeah, Danny Dixon, And then his buddy Chris, like, they basically have built this empire, dude, of just wanted, like, some creative dudes that were like, we don't like the shit other people make. We want to make our own shit. And, like, you know, they just wanted more flannels in the world. And they fucking make, now they make the best ones.
Yeah.
The snaps are so strong, too. Like, I tried one on the other day, and the snaps, they just, they snap together and they hold, which is so nice.
You're just locked into it.
Yeah.
They do those fancy flannels with the buttons and the snaps. They do these, like, the short sleeve, like the party shirts that I wear in the summers. I'm fucking short sleeves in the summers, flannels all winter, baby.
Do they have a straight jacket version that I can have? they make a straight jacket in medium?
You know, they got some pinstripes. But, dude, their flannels, they have all those. They do these, like, custom collection ones. Like, they do, like, this is fucking the Quack. Dude, this is a fucking Mighty Ducks themed flannel.
Dude, that's sick. Right? That rips.
That rips. They do these horror themed ones. Like, this is the Gill Man based on, like, Creature from the Black Lagoon. Mm. Like, on the inside of the tags and buttons and stuff. Dude, this is the Venkman from Ghostbusters. Dude, look, it's got the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man on the inside.
I loved
dude,
it.
This one is mine. This is my flannel. I got another one here.
Does it have a cool tag
this
too?
Is my, yeah, dude, this is the Captain Autism flannel they made for me. That I shot my first special in. Dude, and when the special comes out, Dixon's releasing the Captain Autism flannel to go with the special.
So dope.
That's
dude,
dope.
They're amazing. We go back like 2 years at this point, dude. They sponsored my special. They sponsor our podcast. Dude, I cannot recommend Dixon Flannel Company enough.
I like that.
I mean, ad aside, I really liked that thing we wore. You let me wear it last night at Zany's.
The jacket
was so fucking comfortable.
Dude, there's some fucking beard butter back there. They do beard butter, like men's soaps, like the fancy smelling stuff, All sorts of stuff, dude.
That's awesome.
Bum, 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 bum.
Get some Dixon on you.
Get your Dixon.
You got Dixon dude. On you?
Grow your Dixon collection.
So we did Gig Harbor, Washington, up by Seattle, and then took the ferry back into Seattle, took the train down to Portland. We're late for the show in Portland because the train betrayed me.
Your headlining gig on Rip City Festival.
Yes, my
sold
headlining
out.
Gig on Rip City Festival that sold out. You were basically killing time because we were running so late that they were like, we're out of comedians. Yeah. And so you were just killing. How much time did you end up doing then?
So from my POV cam, because there's yours, I'm actually glad to hear the very first part of this story because some of it I didn't ask y'all. A lot of things have gotten answered in 10 days together.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of like what that turned into. I, on my own, was just on this Portland comedy festival called Rip City. So I was there, did not know these three clowns from anyone else aside from just knowing who you are because you are a vigorous wiggler at the office. You have a high level of visibility, and I'm sorry, when you have a more of an elevation, I will see you. And I'm a comic who's very far removed from everything. Like, I don't really post things. I don't have a viral following. Like, people know my heart. I can do comedy professionally. But I'm like, I've had like 6,000 followers. Like, if you woke up tomorrow with my social numbers, you might kill yourself. I've made that joke before, but that's the reality. Like, if Hannah Berner woke up tomorrow with 6,500 followers, she's jumping off one of these things. Like, the jokes we make, because it's like, that's how big this business is. But I was just excited to work with you. So you were one of like two headliners I got to work with aside from Sean Patton. So you guys are running behind. Yes. I hear about this because a stressed out host comes into the shotgun room that we were all in there at this
tunnel.
Theater.
Sweating.
So, I mean, they all were. Everyone. It was wet that week. You know, it's rainy. It's rainy. So I'm just like, we're back there. And he comes in and he's like, I'm like, when are they getting here? Because I was just excited to meet y'all.
Yeah.
I just want to see more people. That's what you get into festivals for, I think, is to see nature or if you can, and then meet humans, your peers. So I was like, okay, cool. And then it kind of stressed me out because when you guys got there stressed, it like puts a stressful feeling in the air. So it's like, oh, this ain't the ideal way to meet people. I was like excited to meet, and I can see you. You're about to go on after me.
I literally just ran.
Bob, in our first moments, I looked at all of us, and you're like up against a wall sweating, and we can't. And I asked you, first thing I ever said to you, I just go, hey, can I get you something that you don't have?
Literally.
And you said, a Red Bull. And I immediately run out to the other bar. They don't have it. So I'm like, fuck me! And then come back. So this is where we're at. But I was just opening. So he comes in and he's like, hey, they're behind. I'm like, okay, how behind? He's like, well, they're supposed to be at the train station like, at that time. Yeah. And, you know, I still am taking buses actively. I'm on Greyhounds all the time. I just got an old car and it's 185,000 miles on it. It's not a great stunt that's happening in my life right now, but it's moving. So I'm like, okay. He's like, who would feel comfortable going in a position to just like hold the fort until they get there?
Hold the line.
And you know, I'm a details person. So it's like, yeah, I have an hour. I have an album on a label, even though you, at the end of this, you'll be like, you don't deserve that. That's crazy. They're really just for an Asian. They wanted to add an Asian bitch to that roster, and good on you, fucking assholes. Happy AAPI month. Look at me being a good ally.
What does that stand for?
Asian American Pacific Islander month. So you're learning. You're learning. I'm a corn Asian, so that's why it sounds like this. And only mixed.
You're an ethanol Asian.
Ethanol? Diesel fuel.
Yeah.
One of the first things that AJ said to me when we finally all did get to talk later after these shows was, yeah, you calling me, saying Audrey Plaza vibes raised by Reba McEntire, and I just could never unhear it. But I just stretched. I had an hour, and I said, okay, and I said, how much time? He said, undetermined, like the dot, dot, dot on the iPhone, and I just went, I'm the one to do it. I assessed the other boy that was in here with me, and I knew that he was on the festival, so, like, I don't know him from anyone else aside from just having, like, been on a showcase with him the night before in a dive bar. But I just felt like I was probably, I'll say this, I felt like I was the competent one for the job, and I was quickly kind of just like, ah, let me do it, because I got an hour, and
Is that how you bit him? Is that when?
Yes. And then, so I went up, and I think I just did 20, but that's how long it was until y'all came in, and then I got that light, because I kind of even at probably, my internal timer at the 15-minute mark started to just kind of be like, have I not seen a light? You know, like some of those little, because this is where this is also stressful. I'm on an out-of-town festival in front of a person show that I want to do well in front of. And now I'm in this kind of like variable situation, but my whole life has always been obstacle laden and felt like I was born into Frogger. And it's just like, hey, I'm going to. And I was 15 years drunk, so, like, to be alive even now feels like bonus time. So I'm like, I'm the one. Let me be the one. Even if I eat a dick in front of a sold-out crowd, I can take that on the chin, too. You know, I
mean? But you ended
up
getting...
definitely did not eat a dick.
You crushed.
Fest to fest.
Yeah, crushed.
So my POV, because when we walked in the building, you were on stage.
Okay.
So when I first walked in that little back hallway, you were on stage. I walked in, the producer lady got me and was like, okay, Hannah's on stage now. She was filling time until you guys got here. Sydney's going on next. Like, we only have time for one of you guys to go on.
Tragic.
Yeah, you got asked.
Yeah. So, yeah, you guys did your, like, coin toss situation work
favor.
That out.
Favor.
Yeah. Because Sydney had Emma there.
I wanted to,
friend Emma and wanted to go.
Emma.
Hell
shout
yeah.
That girl.
Emma.
Love her. Emma's awesome.
Great.
Love Emma.
Yes. Love
follow
Emma.
Follow her. Emma D. Comedy or whatever.
Emma D. Comedy. Emma Dallenberg.
Yes.
She's hilarious.
Minneapolis based.
So funny.
Tall.
Very tall.
Yes. But they were like, Sydney's going to go on next. And then he was like, I'm going to go light Hannah. So I was like, I got to hear like 2 minutes. But I walked in and I heard the crowd first.
Nice.
So I was like, oh, fuck yes, the show is rocking. And then they were like, oh, Hannah is on stage. And I was like, well, Hannah's fucking crushing. And then they lit you wrapped it up beautiful, got off, Sydney got on, fucking started ripping. And so immediately I was like, oh, this chick is like crushed. They have an actual killer. At the festival.
I saw so many things on this trip in the last week extended with y'all that, like, even before I was kind of talking to everyone in side conversations as we've been on literally an RV in four of the most beautiful states. Like, you listeners, I did not know them before, like, a week ago. And now we're all sitting here, like, I was like, oh, would have got emotional leaving Salt Lake the other day had I known I wasn't coming back. It was, like, already, like, that deep. But that's how quick it all happened. It's like, I saw, like, we had those interactions, and it's nice now to be able to, like, reflect. Because I think the whole time we have been very present. Which is even what led to, I think, some of the things not getting put out in the way that they should. Because we were having so much fun. We've been having so much fun. Like, my camera roll, I haven't even been putting posts on my grid because, and not because I, for once, don't have this, like, intense slide deck I could put together, but because I was making the slide deck. Yeah. And, you know, it's so precious when you get to be, like, actually, like, plugged into that. But that's how rad this all is that, you know, I think everyone should remember in these moments, like, take faith, bros. Like, hang in there. Like, this, things bloom in their own time, and you're pushing timelines onto life's unfolding will only make a secondary version of something that on its own stacks out so cool. Like, I am emo because it's like we have had emo moments together. Like, I watched you like tearing up watching a sunset and like knowing that, like, you know, it's like, oh, we're here. I'll never not know and love you.
Yeah.
And a week ago, I didn't know you, you know? And I was like, I was having a sticky year already where I've slowed myself down as a 40-year-old, and I'm like, hey, you can be quality over quantity, and like people see and hear you. But I got a Netflix audition and then I didn't get it. And it was like last year I was like, JFL, didn't get it. And I've started like performing in New York, and it's like they're also good there and they have huge followings. And so it's like very like, ugh, do I belong here? I'm like swimming in an imposter syndrome. So Portland was so powerful for me because before you guys popped up, I was having great sets like where I was like, oh, ooh, you sound even more like yourself up there, like settling more into rhythm, the finesse parts of things like, hey, we can take this in again and again and again and again. Let's keep reducing it down. And then so for y'all to come in at the end of it and just turn my week inside out from going like, I was supposed to leave this festival and fly to literally support people I know on the Netflix is a Joke Festival, just hanging out with a good attitude. So I'm not a sore loser, and I'm not even used to, like, winning. So it's like, it's fine. I mean that. I'm not a loser. We're at the Fountain Blue. So everyone watching this, like, everyone watching me cry, know we're okay, dude.
Yeah, we're crying on the 60th floor.
Yeah. That's why we're crying. The elevation is so high.
Yeah, we're crying in a
maybe
calm,
we'll get into
Vegas.
It later, but I almost shit myself in a beautiful lobby here last night. So it's like,
Let's put things into perspective. We're crying on the 60th floor.
I had to just say that.
Vegas.
You know, I had to say that. I feel
so
like
nobody here is losing.
I don't even feel like this is a podcast. It feels like I'm on 60 Minutes and they're like talking to me as like a retrospective on my life, and I'm like gazing into like this furniture and a credenza, crying about goofy shit on the road. But that's the reality of that situation. Like that night, we all end up at another show. Me and you are on it. I was not supposed to be on that second show. In fact, that producer just saw me
either.
Do a little rando set and put us together. Sean Patton's on it. It's like this, but it was a show that I don't feel super comfortable in. It was like improv based. And I can be like circumstantially funny. I'm just often funny. But I stand up is more that vein for me. So you put me in these quirk, not hacky situational shows, which I still have to do because that's the level of comedy I'm at. And the reality of the situation is that with every headline, I have three shows where people are like, we thought we were playing darts. Why are you here at the bar, little boy? And I'm like, I don't know, dude, for $30. Leave me alone. No one's bothering you, Craig. God damn. That's the level of comedy I'm at. I hope to always be. In fact, I think the way I do my jokes, I will. But I'm already at the Fountain Blue, so lick my clit respectfully. Do it how you want. Squawk, squawk, squawk. And I say that to say that because you guys also...
Yeah, you went from doing stand-up in what sounded like an Alaskan fishing village to the Fountain Blue in Las Vegas.
Farm Moana,
is in
baby.
Both.
Yeah.
Craig is in both. Fuck you, Craig.
Oh. Yeah. But yeah, but even that night, we do those sets. I didn't even feel like in that second set, I was so uncomfortable internally, like last night when I was getting those bubble guts, and I thought, I will shit myself on this marble floor in front of people wearing Balenciaga flip-flops. I'm like, and you have fish flops. I'm like, I'll puke, laughing, and the whole thing was I saw it all last night. I saw my whole life flash quick.
Dude, if you had tried to throw up into the fish flop and then it would have just looked like the fish was vomiting, dude, I'd have fucking lost it. I'd have been on the floor in your vomit laughing hysterically.
I mean, in every part of something coming out of me, it goes viral. So it doesn't matter where I'm at in the hotel, even if it had happened at Fantasy Factory, in all those lights strobing around,
God,
and I'm just shitting myself, and I cover one of their fucking art installations that we're sitting on taking pictures, and then we get banned from there. Yeah. So either any of the scenarios, it was unwell, but everything leading into it's been rad. But we had we've had a cool rapport.
It's been dope. This trip's been sick.
The whole time, yeah. I feel like, you know, I can just say it from my point of view. It's like Thomas was basically at the end of the after parties and all of us hanging out and getting to know each other after that second show. You were the one to be like, hey, you gave me your number. And you're like, we're thrifting tomorrow.
Come out.
I know you want to do that kind of stuff. Come out. And so I was like, yes. And so I was able to do some other stuff. Like my cousin, my first cousin who I've not seen much in 10 years, drove from Seattle with her daughter to like meet me for lunch in Portland. So it was like that festival was so gooey and juicy fruit and like love fueled for me. And then I meet y'all, and by the end of that, like outside of that Shake Shack, I'm making Nike Rape Club jokes and you guys are just unhinged enough to be like, you know what, I think maybe we'll float an offer down Hannah's lazy river. And I said, let me chew on that. But I'm glad I even did that. I'm glad that throughout this whole thing, there's been a real level of like, hey, everyone in here does, like, we're all doing this. We have a true, like, but it was a synchronized individuality that was really beautiful to be a part of. I can't say enough. I think we've said thank you and I love you more than anything in a week to each other.
Definitely
separately.
Definitely more than my childhood, for sure.
we squeezed in enough love and emotion in the last 10 days that we all fixed our childhoods, didn't we?
Yeah, we had so much love that today we were able to have like light quarrels and still move through it with grace. You know, because that's how it is. The last person I screamed at, even in sobriety, that got me to a point of like emoting in anger had like a little brother energy like yours, you know? And it's like, I love him more than anyone. Yeah. And I still was like screaming.
Dude, the fact that it took the four of us 10 days into a family vacation to have that fight. Do you know what I mean?
No, it wasn't
even a fight.
Families
that have that day one.
Yeah, it was more just like an uncomfortable conversation had to be had.
It wasn't a fight. No.
We know what fights feel like.
Yeah.
Fights, you'll walk out of the room.
Yeah.
Fights, I would smack something. Like that, whatever that vase is, you know what I mean? We're getting charged for something extra. It costs more than all of my spot pay.
This family raises their voices to yell jokes at each other. Yeah. None of us raised our voice when we were having an actual difficult conversation.
Hey, in fact,
guys,
I didn't even say a word. Yeah. I was over here like, I'm the new one in the family.
I'm over here trying not to have another panic attack.
But I also know I'm a very, in my regular life and friend circle, I'm a very calming influence. Yeah. I just am, you know, I've lived 40 years pretty like hardcore.
Can you believe she's 40?
Thanks. Say nice things about me in the comment section or weird ones because I'm lazy and I don't want to write new jokes. And when you call me things like Farm Moana or you say really uplifting things like, she's giving Han Hill vibes or Ron Swanson's cousin or Theo Vaughn's mom, I hear it and I see it and I love you. So I know you guys have the best fans. And that was another reason I was so stoked to do that Clinton Street Theater show with you was because, like, I just knew I was going into a group that was, you know, like, ready for a wet spot. So I was like, hey, I'm competent.
Going to a wet spot?
Yeah, I was like, I knew. Just they want that.
Well, dude, Portland was the wet spot.
It was very wet.
Yeah, that whole portion of the trip, the Oregon portion of the trip, was the wettest part of the trip.
It was so wet.
There's a lot of wet. So very dry here in Vegas. Very dry. Yeah.
We soaked in hot springs. There's a bunch of dry slugs. Ironically, Portland was still the wettest part of the trip.
100%.
1,000%.
The day of the double rainbows, that's when everyone got gay. Everyone was crying.
Yeah, that's what
I felt like. I was on Molly. It felt like drugs.
Yeah.
I was standing around being like, did we drink something we shouldn't have?
I thought they drugged us at that place we ate at.
The pictures you took of us.
My gayest moment was at that place we ate at when we stopped in Stevenson, Washington.
Yes. Picturesque town. Visit it.
What was it? Big River Grill. Yes.
Big River Grill.
Big River Grill.
BDG.
Dude, and I cried into my fucking peanut butter soup.
Yeah, African soup that they said that the locals would have burned them down if they took it off the menu.
The soup was okay.
You just got mad. He got over the peanut butter.
It was soup peanut buttery.
It was. I mean, but that's the, you know.
That was the vibe of it.
That was the vibe of it.
It's cup, not a bowl. Sockeye
salmon patty.
Oh, that thing
rolled.
We've been talking about
sockeye salmon for 10 days.
Best meal of the trip.
Yeah.
What was the best meal of the trip?
What? Well, maybe the steak dinner.
That Vegas steak was insane.
That steak, I've never tasted meat like that.
It made me understand how wealthy people can turn their back on the poor.
Yeah, because they draw the shades with the press of a button. A bidet blows all the fecal matter out of their asshole. And then they go, you know, actually, genocide isn't so bad. I'm going to just, like, log off and, you know, I get it too.
Yeah, I would set fire to all of Australia for another piece of that Wagyu.
Oh,
dude.
My God.
Dude, it was so good.
Just a taste of it.
I've never had a steak do things like that in my mouth.
Yeah, they kind of dance.
Yeah.
It's lively.
It was a song.
I've never felt meat like that inside of me. It was just...
Okay. that was $400.
I've never yearned for meat like that inside of me before.
So that answers my question. What was the steak, you know, that y'all shared?
It was a 32-ounce Australian Wagyu porterhouse. But it was like the
bone in.
It was bone in, and the way he explained it, it was like two different cuts of steak on each side of the bone.
Strip and ribeye, I think. No,
it was. I think maybe it
was. Something with ribeye.
Yeah,
or maybe even filet.
Filet
in another cut.
I think it was. I think it was. Fuck! What was it? It was the ribeye and sirloin.
Okay,
maybe something like that. But oh my God, they brought it out on this giant platter in the middle of the table.
The most subservient servers.
Yeah, dude, like already cut. It took like four people to deliver each item of food.
Yeah.
Right? And they scared the shit out of me because when we got there, we got to our table, we got seated. We got seated, and then me and Sydney went out down to the casino floor to get high as fuck, because how else do you enjoy? There's only one way to prepare to spend $700 on a meal, and that is to get high as fuck, dude. But I was ready. I was ready.
This
dude,
is birthday
ready.
Boy weekend in Vegas.
But it was for all of us.
Duh,
you know what I mean?
Also,
it was like
for
all of us to have this incredible. We got like steak, salmon,
corn,
all of this incredible. Like
corn, Brussels, mushrooms.
Yes.
The corn went hard.
Dude, they kept trying to take the corn early from us. And I like,
my God.
The reason I'm asking is before I started stand up, most of my adult life and my alcoholic years were spent in fine dining. I was a server.
Yes.
So food and beverage, like I know the finer points of all those things. So even being like lower middle class from Indiana, I've had a lot of good food in my mouth.
Well,
I've been able to work with like Michelin star chefs. You know what I'm saying? So like, if you don't even know what Wagyu is, I'll just make it real easy for you. It's just like, it's Asian lineage in the meat, but like raised here. So kind of similar to myself. Like I've called my pussy Wagyu before. Because I'm like, it is. It's marbled. It's a little bit fatty.
Marbled beef, dude.
Melts in your mouth.
Oh, it's a stray hair or two.
100-day wet aged.
Oh my God.
Too soon?
You gotta carve off the bacteria before you serve it.
Oh my God. Just the thought of a man carving off my pussy like those fucking Fogo de Chow.
Like just shaved rib.
Maybe that's the merch. It's a shirt, like a cartoon and a man just carving off pussy meat, like hanging Arby's, just
Like one of those Mexican Al Pastors. They're just shit. You got that Pastor like pussy. Fucking
Parks and Rec meat tornado, dude.
Oh, shit.
Shout out to Indiana. Oh. Even fake ass Pawnee.
You might be, what did you say? Like Indiana trash, whatever, like that. But you also told us last night about how one time an ex boyfriend flew you out here private and then you guys broke up outside of Nobu. So.
Well. God bless you, Jacob, wherever you are. Sweetheart, I want you to know I didn't understand what we were doing for that whole 2 years and why you would jeopardize potentially a trust fund to bring Shabbat shit show into... I mean, the 2 years I did, Jacob, I flew private like 4 times. I was at... We did an Aspen family Christmas where I sat across the table from Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And we're both kind of looking at each other like, what are we doing here? But I'm looking at him like, you're an A-lister and I'm an absolute wreck. So I was like helping the service staff because I'm like used to doing that. And they'd be like, hey, nah, you don't have to do that. And I'm like, I want to, you know? And it was like, it was wild. At one point I was living on a private 18 holes of golf in Indianapolis, Indiana. At the Asherwood Estate. It was a wild time. So yeah, it's like, it's interesting because like... You know, that's how life is also, that you can kind of have these experiences, fortunately, even having a life that wasn't, like, privileged.
So you said you flew private 4 times?
At least I have.
And how many times did you blow private?
None, because always family. Always family in there.
You never fucked in the skies?
No, I haven't. Ah, that's like one place I'm surprised. Shocker.
So you're just the Indiana version of a professional hot girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude.
Yes. And did it without being a legacy. Did it mixed.
Without being a legacy.
You know what I mean? Did it
mixed. I'm not a Hadid, a Kardashian.
I'm not one
of the legacy whores.
Clearly, you can't. I don't even have a bra on. And, you know, this is like, they were the other day, they're like, you got your body. Love your body. And I'm like, dude. When men are like, Hannah, we want to be with you, I'm like, you're bisexuals and pedophiles. Keep it up. Love you to death. Never switching teams. But it's like, what are you doing? Like, this body is, like, not fun. This is, unless you just, like, want to go down a speed trap. Like I was saying,
if you're attracted to me, I have Chris Hansen on speed dial.
Yeah, if you got a boner from Spinelli from Recess and you get an erection when you see a piece of celery, I'm your girl. If you want a peach bottom or a better shape, I'm not your girl. That's all I'm saying. Like, if somebody made like a pillow out of my boobs right now, I can feel them. Like, I would turn down this pillow on a flight to Manila. I'd be like, actually, that will make my neck hurt.
Where's Manila?
Yeah, it's more of like a massage ball.
That's I gotta give the homeland a shout out. It's Asian month.
Shout out.
Let's go, Gooks.
You got this.
I can say it.
Okay, I'm glad I didn't say it because I didn't know what it meant. I was about to just mirror you.
I thought it was a sports team.
It is.
The Gooks?
Yeah, the Portland State Gooks.
It must be Georgia. A minor league.
Where were the internment camps? Minority. I should know this. If I was a better Asian and I hadn't been raised in Indiana on a public school education, I'd know more about my people or countries or stuff. But instead,
now, I know
all
a
the words to
what?
Alan Jackson
that's
songs.
That's a slur for some sort of Asian, right?
Gooks is Japanese,
Japanese.
I think. I mean, I got called all the slurs growing up in Indiana. Gook, chick.
Yeah, because it's Indiana. They don't know the
Spick,
difference.
It's just like anything. I did. I got called. That's
dude,
another
I'm one. I'm from Florida. I got that one a lot.
Spick?
Yeah.
My
I also
got
I brown
Filipinas.
Very well when I when I get sun. And in Florida, it's just all sun.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a manual labor household, so a lot of outdoor activities.
Like, why is that Hispanic man shaking? He's got that jackhammer. He got the tremors after using the jackhammer.
That's what happened.
Nah, swimming across the river.
Yeah, I did have a guy yell out of me out of like a lifted Dodge Ram truck window one time. He said, "God damn, that's the biggest Mexican I've ever seen."
Hell, and you're just like confused. You're like looking around.
Like, you guys, like, you're like, where? Where?
You're like, Fluffy is here? Shit. Oh, it's me. Yeah. Fuck you, dude.
Oh, it's me? Hi, I'm the problem. You. It's me? Oh, yeah.
To insult me properly, you know? Mm.
What a wild ride. I was thinking the best food I had was at steak. The worst food was probably
the crostinis you made.
No, those rules.
I'm kidding, they were good.
It's probably the 9th avocado toast we had. Maybe the 9th or the 10th avocado. The avocado toast that made us late to where we were supposed to go. That late
checkout. I
want to
tie this all up and say this, however. The avocado toast was a clutch selection
so
for
good.
3 days on
so
the road
good.
Because it was very so filling was in an so actually good. Fueling way.
Yeah. Made it an RV.
And this, 100%. This is an exhausting amount of time, and we've done so much. Crossing state lines, even, or going into like different... back and forth in time. I had to break off from this pod like what, 2 mornings ago in Salt Lake City to honor my own commitments as a fledgling headliner in glamorous Dayton, Kentucky to the tune of 20 to 25 in a converted church.
People,
but I ran a strong 60 that I'm proud of and, you know, working towards my first solo show and my next hour. And then I came back quickly to join them here. And we've been together ever since. And we still have a show tonight, which is rad, because the two shows we have had, or three now, if we even talk about that first one, no matter how it shook out, have been great. Like, we're all doing well on stage. I think it's like, it's kind of that idea that a rising tide raises all ships, and you can really feel that this week in like our complimentary forms, in the way that we speak to one another, and just like even in the general... motion in the ocean. I would not have gone out of my way to like I said, I was supposed to go to LA for 4 days and just shoot the shit and get high as balls with my friends and get
a warm
up.
Well, you still did that.
Yeah, and and I'll just say this right now because it's cool to kind of hear the behind the scenes of life. But the original flight I had booked out of LA before, if I would not have joined y'all on tour, got canceled and postponed into a place where without me having to book another flight, I would have missed my headline. So even kind of taking that diversion and joining y'all and then splitting off in that different way got me into where I needed to be more effectively than my original plans. So if that's
life
not
works
flow,
out.
You know, yeah. It's life like, hey, you got to kind of trust that shit.
Finds a way.
Yeah, life finds a way. Life I feel like I've grown a lot on this trip.
No Dude. Doubt.
Yeah.
All the food, yeah.
Also, just getting to watch you guys do stand-up, like seeing the growth in all of your stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Cindy had some crushing sets.
No,
crushing
doubt. Sets.
Cindy crushed.
Thank Dude, you. So did you.
Yeah, I had that one good show.
He's 1-for-2, so he's batting 500 right
three,
now.
2-for-3.
Tonight, he can. Really? Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I'm going to rip titties.
I don't
tonight.
Know how you did at Gig Harbor, because I was not quite there.
Gig Harbor was excellent.
Yeah. Gig Harbor was fun,
you ripped
it.
Excellent.
You weren't there at Gig Harbor. Oh, yeah, you were? Yeah, that was a fun set.
I
get Gig Harbor and the Rip City confused. They're both two words.
Wow. Wow, yeah, they are. Yes,
so
they
which
are.
Which is the natural question.
We'll leave that for you to chew on, because you're clearly in a space. All right,
Gig Harbor was at that place. Yeah, that one was fun. That
yeah,
one was good.
Gig Harbor, Boise, even when you thought you had a bad set... getting to hear the club owner say that he wanted to bring all of you back individually.
That felt good.
Like,
that was great,
like on your own, like that kind of stuff. Just like me, dude, I've cried so much this trip. Like, I cried in Gig Harbor. I cried in Portland. I cried outside the Shake Shack.
I cried everywhere, man.
Exactly.
I cried everywhere.
You cried in Stevenson?
I cried in Stevenson. Yeah. I cried at the Rainbows. I cried on the drive the next day. I
cried on this couch.
I cried on this couch. I cried
Me too, brother.
Well, I think every one of us hit tears on this couch today, not you, pussy.
Yeah.
I'll cry. It's not too late to cry.
Birthday cries.
Birthday
cries.
It was just from his
penis. I cried by myself alone.
I'm weeping out my second vaginal.
Yeah, well, when I break off from the pot, I'm like, I'm going to go party. It's just me crying in a closet somewhere. I miss my dog.
No, just like the rising tide lifts all boats and like realizing that like because there's like we don't have a weather channel for how that works with comedy. Do you know what I mean? There's not like a there's nothing to predict like, oh, your tide's going to come in at between 9 and 12 or whatever or anything like that. So being able to like watch it happen in real time, like as shows sold out and ticket counts like go up and seeing like, oh, like the like I brought all these boats out here with me, not being sure if the tide was gonna like lift enough to not hit rocks, yeah, you know?
But all these boats know they have always floated in one way or another, yeah, you know, which is what allows for some of that. And that's been, it's been rad for me to, I'll shout you guys out in every which way, but beyond the invitation to come along, I've just been observing, you know, you're at a level that's like a click above where I am, and being able to watch kind of what comes out of actual thoughtful, intentional, loving and hilarious commitment to content online, and watching you guys set these cameras up all night, you know. And it's like, I've looked around this entire operation and understood, like, hey, every level it becomes a bit more of a production. But that means if I get a camera, I'm gonna have to actually like do something with not only like getting it, but carrying it and just watching this whole thing, you know, be done. But knowing that there is great benefit to that has been so rad. And, you know, knowing that even being able to be on this pod, if all I had gotten out of the meet and greet with us all personally was even potentially podcasting with you later, like somewhere else, like Nashville, I would have gone home already feeling like I got a big W in the Pacific Northwest. And it's obviously gotten so much bigger than that. Because like I said, I'm even a fledgling headliner. So it's like knowing I've been able to like work in sold out rooms that you have so graciously. And, you know, just I see you on stage every night, even to watch you run these like electric hours and the responses of your crowds to you
the standing O
has made me like feel, because you know I have that love that comes into me at a smaller trickle, so to see what it looks like when you put, you know, 180 of those fuckers together, it's like no wonder we're always crying. I've been crying the whole time. I was crying before comedy. I was crying before I met you. I'm a Pisces moon. Stuff makes me cry. I remember a Hallmark commercial as a kid, and like a deaf kid signed to another kid, and I was weeping. Like, you know, Forrest Gump will gut me. It's like, it's soft. You know, I'm a Charmin, you know, soft cunt. But it's like, there is, this was so rad. But even just being able to be like, hey, this is also a choose your own adventure. We can all grow together, but even individually, there are ways to like do things for yourself, and you will. And especially when you're in a place where it never felt competitive. It never felt like scary, you know, in a way. It was like, it was just kind of like all good nerves. Like I had to like pull things out of myself performance wise just to keep pace with who I was playing with. And that's rad when you can get into those spaces to where you're like, okay,
let's go.
But that's why gym time. That's why I like being able to bring comics and being able to do it the way I'm trying to do it. It's like the same thing. Seeing you like crush even just for 2 minutes, it's like, and knowing the situation is like, oh, this person went up and was just holding. Do you know what I mean? Like just going up to hold the line and is crushing like this, that takes a tremendous level of talent that like most comics don't have. Do you know what I mean? Even at like where we're at in comedy, like at this point, there's comics that it's like, if it's not something that's been prepared leading up to this, that they can't step into and do that. And that's, like going back to like the thing with the cameras and like this week and like that realizing like, oh, the way that like you and I do comedy where it is like interactive and like it changes form from time to time, like trying to work out this like this hour of like all this new material, it's like jokes that I want to get to, but it's also just whatever is happening in my brain at that moment. It's like that's part of like the thing that I, that like makes it different and like that I love about it, is that for this 1 hour of time I'm free to let my brain do what the fuck it does. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
And so being able to do that, and like what we were talking about in the RV and on the trip, is like having that ability to do that and pull that out in a room full of people, it creates this unlimited wellspring of stuff. And having like going back to the cameras and filming everything, it's realizing, because we never know what's coming out of the well, having that, it's like it captures and immortalizes a moment that like those had to be their moments. And that gives you the ability to like share and connect with more people, because it's like, hey, you had to be there to really experience this, but here's as close as I can show you to what it was like.
Mm-hmm. Our first one-on-one real conversation was right after Thrift in Portland, when we were just sitting outside and the lady eventually came and was like, you can't smoke here. And we're like, oh, all right. So, like, we've done 50 times in other states, and I'll always do. I'm going to light up first and then apologize second. Exactly. I'm not going to look around, and then I could have already been high and down the street. But we were talking about, you know, you heard that I had my album out with 800 Pound Gorilla, and we're going back and forth on that kind of stuff. And immediately you brought up to me, without even like knowing me from Eve, you're like, you need to get write down this, these three different things for like Premiere Pro, and you need to just like take kind of put some stuff, you know, just even in not a like, you have to, but it was just like this understanding of like, oh, but you've got that gas, so put it out there. And you know, watching you guys sell merch, my brain spools with ideas. I have hundreds of sheets of paper with like and notes on my phone of like, oh, I want to put Trailer Moon on a crop top, or just like my, it's a little factory of ideas, but I haven't done that because I've also not had a car. I'm traveling around, so like, you know, traveling with more merch. You have to check a whole nother bag. I always haven't had check another bag money. I still have to sometimes take like the most like realistic ways to get through, or I want to be able to have moments to like take, be like, okay, I can join them and be okay on, you know, on the road and completely fine. But, you know, these are all things that, you know, can only be built over time. And a lot of it has to be fucked up first for it to get into a better position, you know. But I was, that was like very meaningful to me because I was like, oh, and then watching you guys sell merch and you being like, where's your merch? And I'm like, oh, I don't even have it yet. Even though I like a million iterations have been born in my mind. But seeing like, oh, every night of the week, another $100 of selling four shirts would benefit me vastly. You know, so it's like these kinds of things where it's like, hey, at some point you got to start putting it all together. And that was a beautiful thing of even me just plugging and playing with you guys this week, is that it was like, I said, when I was, thank God I stopped crying. I was so over that. I was like, reset this. This is not, you're not talking to Oprah. Please grow up, Tom Cruise. Don't jump on this couch. Sit down and talk to your friends and get this.
You can jump on it, just don't shit on it.
Trigger. I mean, jumping right now still feels too close to whatever happened last night. And I don't even want to get into that anymore. I basically just almost shit my pants. Something came over me at the end of last night. We were supposed to pod last night. And then I created a Mount Vesuvius situation in my stomach from eating everything from a lobster quesadilla and hot coconut water at the Fountain Blue pool yesterday.
Just a hot coconut cheeseburger just soup in your stomach, dude.
Literally each one of us had to have consumed a gram of potent weed in four forms. I mean, I had a cannabis cocktail. So people can see I have not drank for 5 years, but
well,
I'm still clearly an addict.
Of those containers. So technically a half gram of
and then they thought we
dabs and the pre-roll. Up. You lightweights? No.
Yeah, we used a pre-roll as an aperitif. We were like, we'll start with the shrimp cocktail and a pre-roll. Like, just goofiness. And then at the end of the night, we had In-N-Out Burger and something in my body that will eat, you know, a little bit dicey here and there, but mostly on a pretty good regimen that keeps me looking this vibrant at 40. It's changed this week to flow with our road situation. You know, you saw me get a juice every day on road.
Oh, yeah.
But yesterday I was unable to control some factors. I was traveling off 30 hours of coming back to y'all. And boy, did I get stricken. And so, like, last night we were just all in front of the Fountain Blue. And we were going to podcast. And that was what it was. And then I felt something in my stomach. And then I looked at Thomas and I said, I think there's a bathroom and I'm going to go find it. And he was like, okay. And they're shooting content for today.
I didn't see you.
The irony of us traveling 6 days in reverse down the Oregon Trail, and you wait until Vegas to get dysentery.
I mean, oh my God! The Trail of Tears ends in fucking this boutique hotel at the highest level. Rick Rubin's been walking around. He could have been in there. That is. I have had a dream where I met him, and I did not ever in my mind think, oh, you could be in a bridesmaid-like situation.
Yeah. Wait, you was that actually Rick Rubin?
No.
Oh.
Oh, see, and the thing is, I only saw your story, and but he could easily be here at
and very
any
fast.
Time.
Yeah. I was like, oh, shit,
Rick
Rubin's
Rubin,
here.
Though, coming into town is going to stay in a place like this. Yeah. You know, one out
Why
of four times.
He?
No doubt.
Why would... Dude, going into the steakhouse in this hotel the other night, we saw fucking Max Crosby. Yeah, fucking for sure. NFL All-Pro defensive end Max Crosby walking into the steakhouse as we were walking out.
Oh yeah, the big black guy.
So
yeah.
When you were like, "Oh, Rick Rubin's at the pool," I was like, "Fucking, of course he is."
Yeah. So I saw that and I thought it really was Rick because he just kind of was far back and I was like high and my contacts are old, so I'm like, "Okay, I can't see." Clearly, just should not even speak. But yeah, so I had a moment where I made it into and if you've never stayed here, which maybe I hadn't until today, but I was familiar with the property. I just knew it was like luxury at the high level luxury. And I just, like I said, I came in the lobby, like surrounded by, like I said, waterfall orchids, people in some, like Vegas has kinds of these outfits, even at the rich level where you're like, I wouldn't wear that still.
No.
You look crazy. No. Carol, you look fucking loony.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if that's the new Givenchy. You look like a... What is that?
Yeah. Do you guys remember that scene from Forgetting Sarah Marshall where she's like arguing with him and she's like, there was a week straight where you wore nothing but sweatpants. Mm. And he was like, oh, if I had worn Sean John sweatpants, it would have been fine, but because they were fucking Costco brand or whatever, that is exactly what Vegas is.
Yeah.
It's people in Sean John sweatpants and Balenciaga
slides.
You're
just a rich slob.
But then, like, fucking sparkly sequin shirts, and it's like, what the fuck is happening?
It's a wreck.
What? Although I did see the most adorable old man at the pool yesterday.
And the Speedo?
No. The old man that was wearing like the gray fishing hat and like the purple paisley
shirt.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And then like these fucking wild ass multicolored shorts.
And the socks.
And the bright yellow socks, orange sneakers. And I was like, it's me from the future. Dude. Yeah. And I was like, I dug that. Some outfits are so wild that you're like, oh yeah, only in Vegas.
Yeah.
And then other outfits, you're like, what are you doing? You're in Vegas.
Yeah.
And that is what it all is, all of the time, every hotel, every price point, you will see that hodgepodge of humanity. And that's what makes Vegas so
I love it. Fun
to come in as an outsider, because it's like, it's loony.
Yeah.
It's literally loony. Wild. People are shape-shifting and you know it. You're just kind of like,
dude.
Portland, you're like, maybe that's a government plant. Vegas, you're like, oh, you've turned forms. Like, people are doing magic here.
Dude,
like, literally...
middle of the afternoon, in 1 hour at the pool, a guy lost $100,000 at the outdoor gambling tables. A lady brought out two different falcons to chase away the pigeons.
And bring you beer.
And bring...
A falcon on one arm, a serving tray in the other.
Dude, and
these are for the pigeons, but they have like blinders on because...
Tell the bird, bring me a lemon slice.
And an old couple on edibles was trying to... Full on fucking the pool.
Oh, they were fucking.
They were full on fucking in the pool.
I was, what was
at
I
least doing hand stuff. At the very least, doing hand stuff.
No doubt.
Dude.
Yeah, you were reading.
Yeah.
Thomas was reading a book.
Thomas.
What
things
the
got
fuck? Crazy.
Thomas is like, I don't want to pee in the pool, and I'm like, what we're talking about? And you're like, no, those two are coming. You can totally pee in
the
pool.
That lady full on squirted in the pool.
Same 60-year-old
lady was just
squirting. That is like, I don't want to shit on Vegas too much, but there
you
is.
You can say the truth of
I
things.
I will say the truth. It's such a vapid, heartless, soulless, dry, dusty, hungry, horny utopia, really. It's wonderful. I'm never fucking leaving this town.
We'll run.
I've seen more whores
we'll run
in this room.
Stupid.
No, but there are. There's so many. Like, we went and played craps last night, me and Sydney.
She
was
crap.
Playing a different type of craps.
Yeah, I didn't get to leave the room. We did
Everybody
not podcast.
She was working
night.
Craps.
Did
we were playing
I shit in the lobby? No. It best case scenarioed, and I kept that from Pompeying over everyone's shared experience. I was just masking a cauldron. Thomas said today, when I recounted all this, that he saw me in the elevator going up to floor 60. And it Rinded appeared in. Peaceful. Like
there
the face of a saint right before they're stoned to death, to meet their
like
Lord
when they play piano music
Savior.
As the world is collapsing.
Yeah, because I had already prayed a million times. I'd even prayed and gone beyond the prayer to the place of acceptance, which was like, at some point, I've shit myself before in the past. I was a 15-year alcoholic. Stuff happened. One time I shit my pants and missed a Twista concert because I had to buy new jeans at a local Kmart. That's a dated reference all the way around and a true story. I was not unprepared for this last night. I just didn't want it. I really want to just have a nice time with my friends and not do that to everyone. It's a lot.
Dude, I've been there. Just so you know,
I know.
I shit my pants so bad one time in St. Petersburg, Florida, I had to buy a sarong from a Wings.
A what?
Is it sarong?
A sarong.
The little things that the bitches have been wearing at the pool.
Yeah.
The little gypsy skirt.
Like a gypsy
that you've seen all
like
the women out there.
Like an African style wrap. Because they didn't have shorts that would fit me. Wings are like those like roadside strip mall bathing suit / boogie board stores when you get to beach towns.
So you bought a cover up.
I bought a cover up because they didn't have shorts that would fit me.
So just
and it was a Speedo or a sarong, dude. And I was like, well, I'm not going banana hammock with the because that
chocolate
would just be
Sunday.
If I shit myself again, that would be the equivalent of putting my thumb over the end of a water hose. So how about no?
Yeah.
How about let's just get a wrap so if I shit myself, I can just whip it off like a superhero's cape and just shit in the wind.
Oh my god. And that's another image that's like kind of beautiful. Like to a homeless person or even a classy one with a sense of humor and just like kind of a quirky aesthetic. Watching shit fly out of a sarong, like onto other unsuspecting humans, even across coffee table books. Like last night, someone would have saw me do that and made like a beautiful A24 movie. You know, like it would have just been like there'd have been an Asian kid across the way that was just like, oh,
it would be
my.
Everything everywhere
also,
all at once.
Also, but just
say,
feces.
Yes.
Also, when you say shit flying out of a sarong, you make it sound like I fashioned it into some sort of like sling. Yeah, like I'm Dave, like I'm David and Goliathing shit at people.
Incredibly
which,
effective
honestly,
tactic, though. I mean, Goliath probably would have backed up quicker, and David wouldn't have had to been like on God's grace. With some sort of like a half court heave, the way I know he did. Cause like David was very, like I'm a pastor's daughter, so I can speak on the things that were jammed into me. But I feel like homie, you know, he was like, he's the one that fucked Jezebel. Like Dave was a problem. Dave was really like.
Dave was a problem.
Dave was an issue, dude. He had his mistress's husband killed in battle, Absalom, because he wanted to fuck her after seeing her bathe in like a tub.
Bathsheba.
From a high POV. He was like at Fountain Blue, saw her out there at the pool, got lusty,
Bathsheba.
Had her husband killed.
So Dave was basically fucking Joaquin Phoenix in Gladiator.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a sense.
Yep.
Great movie.
Which means how fucking drugged up was Goliath before he threw that rock at him?
What if I'd have got up out of my own shit and said, are you not in the United States?
If you think about
it. That's where somebody that had an aneurysm and
are
died.
Are you not entertained?
What if I'd have got out of my own shit last night and did that? Like, are you not entertained? And then collapsed. And then the person has an aneurysm.
And then we carry you away.
Yes.
Oh my God. Dude, okay, this suite like that has the living room and stuff, there's like this master bath shower situation where like you step into like an 8x12 like prison cell sized shower and then the back of it is a tub, so it's like a standing shower but the tub is
lovely.
Inside of the shower enclosure.
Our shower is outside of our tub.
Dude, the shower is so big that me and Taryn got in there together yesterday. And she was in the shower, and I legit climbed into the tub and was twerking in the bathtub. And when you said that am I not entertained thing, dude, I literally pictured me twerking in the tub and then, are you not entertained? And then just blowing shit onto the back wall of the shower.
Oh my God.
It has to have happened here in Vegas before.
Talk about 100%. A standing ovation.
To be honest,
dude,
that sounds like all the scenes
standing
in Saltburn. That's no different than what I saw in Saltburn, the movie. Just basically
yeah,
a scene like that of just, you know, just grotesque sexual sorts of, like, experiences. You know, that's beyond a golden shower. That's
speaking of golden showers.
A golden brown shower, dude. Just
pee.
You gotta pee? Go pee.
How are we on?
We're good.
I think, yeah.
We've done it?
I think
we've
good.
Done it.
And we got all the way back around. You know,
we have done
do
it,
do a show
folks.
Tonight, and it's all rad, and everyone's going to kind of depart tomorrow, and it's still all rad.
It's all rad. Well, I guess we should, I guess Sydney's just done with the podcast now.
Everybody's got a volatile stomach situation. Maybe not
Sydney
AJ,
is emptying her bowels. Let me empty my calendar into the camera.
Come on, baby.
Let's see where we got. Where are we?
Upcoming dates, live shows this Friday, May 24th, Atlanta, Georgia. Thursday, May 29th, Gig Harbor, Washington, running it back and doing the whole other hour, a whole different hour. I split that shit in half. I got 2 hours right now. Wednesday, June 5th, Stand Up Live, Huntsville, Alabama. June 27th, 28th, 29th, 5 shows in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the Looney Bin. July 18th, Austin, Texas, Vulcan Gas Company. The 19th and 20th, Fort Worth, Texas, Big Laughs Comedy. July 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, I'm co-headlining a tour in Ohio with Cam Bertrand. We're hitting 5 different cities in Ohio. Go check my website, AJ Wilkerson Comedy. Get tickets for all of those shows. August 11th, August 11th, Phoenix, Arizona. That says no title. I don't know what that is. I think that's it right now.
Rad.
That's it. Yeah.
So it sounds like you don't have any shit happening, and you guys need to hurry up and get your tickets.
Yeah. AJ Wilkerson Comedy. Get your tickets for all of those shows. And now I'm just saying a reminder to myself to cut my dates up and put that into a functional format.
All right.
That's it.
Well, that's the pod, folks.
That's the pod.
Big,
thanks.
You want to plug your any upcoming dates you got and your socials?
Yes, please.
Follow along for all that information across the socials at Handerpump Rules. My name is Hannah Rushline. I have an hour out an album called Asian American Psycho with 800 Pound Gorilla available on Spotify, Apple, and everywhere else that there's music and content. And other than that, they're probably going to twist my arm into putting more and more things out here. So just be watching. Everyone's growing, winning, loving. Be nice to yourselves.
Hannah Rushline, Hander Pump Rules on social media, Asian American Psycho, out on 800 Pound Gorilla on all streaming platforms. Go check out her album and follow Hannah Rushline.
Thanks, Wanks.
Woo!
Thanks, Wanks.
Bye.
Bye.
What in tarnation?